Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text is our gospel lesson. There's a very old tradition that on the 10th Sunday after Trinity, there would be something that would be read. It would be the account of the destruction of Jerusalem. In fact, this was so ingrained in Lutheran churches that the old German hymnal from the 1800s included this write-up right in the hymnal. It recounts from Josephus and a couple of other texts about the history and what happened leading up to and on the day of the destruction of Jerusalem. So it's in here. I don't know how many of you have the old hymnal. It's in German, the Kirchengesangbuch. I don't know how many have it. Maybe it's a grandparents, a great-grandparents, and you know, if you're like me, you probably can't read it anyway, but it's in here. You'll notice how small this is compared to the hymnals we have today. That's because the hymnal back then was intended to be a songbook for use at church and at home. There is not a single note of music in this book. You are to know the church's music. You are to be singing it every single day as your part of your life. This book tells us of the destruction. Now, why would it be read on the 10th Sunday after Trinity? Why was this a part of the church's life? Think about our gospel lesson and you'll understand. When Jesus drew near to and saw the city, that is the city of Jerusalem, Jesus is about to begin Holy Week. He is drawing near to the city to enter in on a donkey, to ride on in majesty to his death. He knows what's coming. He knows that the same people crying out, Hosanna, will be convinced to cry out, Crucify him. That the words crucify will be louder than save him. Save us, Lord. He knows this. He knows that this city that was built to sing his eternal praises would abandon him. The same people that he had come to save would turn their noses at him and want his own death. And he weeps. We're not talking a single man tear here. He weeps bitterly. The people that he has loved from eternity would turn away from him. The people that he had loved from eternity would deny him and kill him. Can you imagine the great pain that would cause? The children that you love turning their backs and asking for your death? That is what Jesus is facing. Jerusalem was built and set apart to be a part of the old covenant, a covenant that would lead to his birth, to his life, to his death. Jerusalem had a temple built by Solomon. David, Solomon's father, desired to build that temple, but he had too much blood on his hands. Remember David's greatest sins. He took another man's wife. And then he had her husband killed to try to cover it up. God said, David, you will not build it, but your son Solomon shall. And so Solomon builds this grand temple where all of God's called children would come to worship him. God's children in the Old Testament follow him for a time, and then they reject him. And then he sends a punishment. And they call out for forgiveness, and he forgives them, and he restores them. And they follow him for a time. And then they fall into error. They chase after false gods. God punishes them and brings them back over and over again. The Old Testament is written for our knowledge so that we can learn from their mistakes. He comes. He looks at them, and he weeps. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. Solomon built the temple, and God allowed it to be destroyed. This isn't even the same temple. In fact, God's children had so far gone away from him that he allowed a foreign kingdom to come in and sweep out the temple, to destroy it. Solomon's temple had been destroyed in the 6th century BC, before Christ. God sent them to be slaves for 70 years in a foreign land. They chased after false gods, and he punished them. He even laid waste the great city that he set apart. But after 70 years, they returned to build a new temple. So the temple that Jesus is talking about, the temple that Josephus is talking about, is this second temple. In the year AD, that is, in the year of our Lord, 70, the temple would be destroyed. The history here of Rome and Egypt and all the nations that would take control in Israel is extremely important, but I don't have time to get into it. I encourage you to take some time to look at the history of the climate there. Why is Rome even in charge of Jerusalem and Israel? Rome had dealt with these children, these people, the people who constantly poked and poked and poked until finally they had had enough. The Roman government came into the city of Jerusalem, cut off all of their food, and eventually destroyed it. In 70, they came in and destroyed the second temple. But keep in mind that this temple was no longer the holy place of God, because the Jews had turned their back on the God that they had asked for, the God that they had waited for, the Messiah who came, they rejected. This temple was no longer a holy place. God says that there are only two things to worship in this life. You either worship him, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or you worship a demon. All other religions are founded upon the lies perpetuated by the devil, the father of lies. There is only one saving faith, faith in Jesus Christ, in his work as true God and true man. Judaism today, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, all of these religions follow the lies of demons. There is only one path to God, only one path to salvation, only one path to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, declares the Lord. He who believes in me has life. I am the way. And so God allowed his holy places to be destroyed. God's children had rejected him. And now he would build a new covenant. A new covenant, not a part of the sign of circumcision, but a new covenant that would go into all the world. A new covenant of faith in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, and what he has done. Jerusalem was destroyed because they failed to follow God. They failed. Think about our own country. Now, I'm not saying that America necessarily was a Christian nation, but for sure we can agree that it was founded on Christian principles, on morality of who God is. God declares what is right and what is wrong. But in these last days, we seem to be cutting out what God declares is right and wrong and replacing it with what our own hearts say. God's children had begun to do that, and Jesus threw temple tables and built a whip and whipped them and yelled at them out of his holy temple. God has a righteous anger. He desires to be worshiped. Where are we at as a country? Are we any farther behind than Israel was in those days? Do we follow after false gods? Think about the words from our Old Testament lesson. Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, what have I done? Everyone turns to his own course. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? What does God say about creation? Does God say, I spoke, and then it took millions and billions of years to create because that's what your scientists tell you? No. He says, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, and day six. It took 6 days to create everything out of nothing. And yet fallen men desire to explain that way. Do we listen to God, or do we follow fallen men? When we reject the word of God, we have no wisdom in us. We no longer know the difference between right and wrong when we chop out who God is and what he has declared as sin and what he has declared as what his children should do. In our Old Testament lesson, it continues on by saying, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Think about the pride celebrations we have in this country. The whole month of June is filled with pride in what God has clearly said is a sin. We don't even know what his word says. We are not ashamed, for we have forgotten how to blush. God says, you shall have no other gods. And yet, look at where we're at as a country. We follow all sorts of foreign gods, gods that are not him. There is a state capitol in the United States that right next to the Ten Commandments monument has a goat demon monument with children sitting on his lap. How can this be? Because freedom of religion. Is that what our founding fathers wanted? No. Is that what, but even more important than what our founding fathers wanted, is that what God wants for his children? You think God is happy with a goat demon monument standing next to his Ten Commandments on state property? We have gone a far foot. God says, do not misuse my name. And yet Christians freely use God's name to curse, to swear. We use it in vain instead of keeping it holy. God says to worship him. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Do we go to church each and every week to hear of what God has done in our lives, or do we follow other priorities? Do we sleep in on Sundays because, by gum, that's the only day we get to ourselves? Do we go to work on Sunday mornings even though we don't need to? Do we go play a million tournaments even though God desires to be worshiped? Do we honor our parents? Do we truly honor them? Do we love them? And after all the years that they have cared for us, do we care for them? God says, you shall not murder. And yet the very life that he knits together in the womb has been killed over 60 million times in this country in 40 years. Do we truly honor life? Or do we use it as dispendable, thrown away based on our own whims? God says, you shall not commit adultery. And yet, couples live together outside of marriage left and right. Why? Because the world tells them that that is what you do. Marriage is viewed as a social construct. Love is love. But Jesus said, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and they shall hold fast to one another and become one flesh. God defines marriage, not the state, not our own sinful desires. Marriage is to be ended only by him and death. Do we understand that? Do we hold up marriage anymore? Do we view divorce as the very absolute last option and recognizing that it tears apart the flesh? God says, do not steal. Do not tell lies. Do not covet. Rather, enjoy what I have given you. Do you act as good stewards? Do you follow his will for your lives? We fail him left and right. We desire what our neighbor has. We do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Rather, we want that extra thing. And so we both go work night and day in order to get all the stuff that will fade away. As moths devour it, we must lay our treasures up in heaven. And so we have pride in our sin. We do not blush because we have forgotten God's word. Our nation should be destroyed. God's chosen people of old that he set apart That nation he destroyed. He allowed for its destruction because they had turned against him so many times. He is patient and long-suffering. America should already be destroyed. And yet God looks at you, his children, and he says, a little while longer. Do not lose hope. Do not lose your faith, because Jesus Christ is going to return. Whether or not America falls before that, I don't know. But I promise you that if this country does fall, and it deserves to, Jesus Christ is still your Lord. He alone is your King. Follow him, love him, trust in him, and eternity is yours. Worship him. Listen to his word. Enjoy his word. And tell others of the magnificent things that he has done. The church sings, arise, O true disciples, let wrong give way to right, and penitential shadow to Jesus' blessed light. The light that has no evening, that knows no moon or sun, the light so new and fading, divinest, sweetest, best. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.